Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. Bob Getty, Kelly Sanner, and world traveler Dima Mixon is back with. Man, Dima's making so much money on this show. He's with us 3 weeks, and he's off to Hawaii. We're going to have to renegotiate your contract, Dima. I can see that.
Well, Mr. Bob gave me his credit card, and I was just like, man, thanks. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
It didn't bounce?
It did not. That's crazy.
Last time I got it, it was bounced.
Well, let me just tell you, don't ever take any checks from Sanner. My credit card is a much safer bet than Sanner writing you a check.
I was always told if you had checks that there's money. But I guess not.
I always used to say, well, if I run out of the money, the bank will call me and tell me.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, we're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. We're glad you're with us. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Guys, I got to tell you, after this weekend, I almost feel guilty coming on the air and talking about sports. It's what we do. But, I mean, I don't think we should do the show without at least commenting our thoughts about Saturday. Dima, I know that you're a political science major. I'm not, but I got to tell you, I was shaken, man, when I thought that they had killed Donald Trump. And I would say the same thing had they killed, had it been Joe Biden. I'm not just saying it because it was Trump, but man, we got to turn the temperature down in this country.
Yes, for sure. And as someone who does study politics and someone who was actually watching the rally live, I was tuning in to see if he would have announced his VP at that rally. And, you know, it was a surreal experience. Probably the most historical thing that I've ever watched with my own eyes as far as live. I mean, I know we lived through COVID. I think of like the Boston Marathon bombings was another one that I lived through. And I know all of y'all lived, both of y'all lived through 9/11. I wasn't alive during that point, but it was a surreal moment. And, I'll tell you, it's a picture for the ages when he's standing up and blood's on his face and he's pumping his fist. Yeah. And I looked at my dad, and I know that, you know, a lot of people might not agree with me and all this stuff. And you can have an opinion on, I'm not going to, you know, say you're Hitler or say whatever if you have an opinion that is contrary to this. But I looked at my dad when he pumped his fist after just taking a bullet in the head as a 78-year-old man, and he yelled the word fight. And I said, that man is a leader. That man is a warrior. Yeah.
Kelly, this is that Saturday is something that will be in documentaries for the ages. I mean, it's a moment in American history that will always be taught and talked about.
I remember where I was when Ronald Reagan was. I was a sophomore in college at Iowa State, getting ready to go into a TV course. So the TVs were already on, and we were just glued, you know, to the TVs. The thing is, you know, for all of us, is when the president does well, whoever the president is, we all do well.
Right.
You know, I pray for all of our presidents. It's a thankless job. I know most of them have egos through the roof. Most of them, you know, are into power trips, all that. I get all that, but. You know, when President Obama was elected, you know, there were a lot of people, oh, the country's, you know, it's going to change. No, it's not. This country is bigger than any one person, you know, and the way that our founders set it up with checks and balances with the Congress and the Senate and, you know, executive and judicial and all that sort of thing. One person, you know, can't do all these things that people say that bad people will do. It's just not set up that way. So,
yeah, we can't lose sight of the fact that a father of two, husband, fireman, lost his life attending a political rally. Lost his life, and another
protecting his family,
shielding his family.
Yeah. And another American citizen was shot, and two shot, and still, I guess, recovering from those wounds.
They said they're in stable condition.
Senseless, senseless violence, and it needs to come to a stop.
I agree. Let's just talk issues and then go to the voting booth and vote your conscience.
Yeah, that's right. I think Senator Bernie Sanders said it really well, and I don't really agree with anything he ever says, but he said, like, politics should be boring. You know, like, there shouldn't always be these.
Say that. Yeah,
there shouldn't be all of these, like, crazy, like, comments. There shouldn't be all these crazy things that are happening. Like, politics in and of itself should be discussing the issues and kind of be boring.
No.
But it seems like every single day there's this just ginormous breaking news, and it's crazy.
So actually, he would have said it like, let's be clear. Politics are supposed to be boring.
And I'm once again asking for your financial support.
And one last comment. If you want to read true elegance in the face of horror, read the statement that the former First Lady
Melania's statement was phenomenal.
Really, really elegant.
And I love how she said, like, the media portrays my husband to be this guy, but he's a father. He loves music. He's inspiration. Right. And it's just like, this is a person, you know, that y'all are, that people talk about that are in ridiculous ways. Same goes for Biden. So,
well, as 50 Cent said Saturday night, he's a bad
Bob. don't read the exact quote now,
but that's what he said. All right, let's do get to sports. Major League Baseball draft underway. Whew. So far, none of our guys picked, Dima, but what can you update us on?
Yeah, none of Southern Miss's players are picked. There was three notable draftees, I think, that we can mention on the show, because I'm not going to go through the entire round because that'll just take forever. You know, number nine in the draft, he was from Jackson Prep. Name was Connor Griffin, coming from Jackson Prep. So he got selected in the top 10.
Yeah, his dad
going to the Pittsburgh Pirates. So
his dad was the softball coach at Bellhaven. So he comes from a, you know, back, and there was some thought that he would go anywhere from 8 to 13.
Yeah, so that's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
to be
good,
honest.
Good for him. Yeah.
So that's a guy from Mississippi. Another guy from Mississippi, starting pitcher for the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I don't want to butcher his name here. I'm going to try my best. Gerangolo Sinietti, I think is how he pronounced his name. So he was obviously that switch. He could throw the right arm on Saturday, then throw the left arm on Sunday. So pretty incredible talent for him, and good for him. He went to the Mariners in the 15th round. So shout out to Scott Kirk and WDAM, because he'll be happy that he's a big Mariners fan.
And well, the ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous.
Yep. Guy can pitch with either arm. I've said since I was a kid, man, I would give my left arm to be ambidextrous.
It's pretty incredible, to be honest.
Kelly, what was that?
I got it. It just went over my head. I got it that 3 seconds
Kelly,
later.
My daughter just went to a Yankees game at Yankee Stadium, and what she told me that night was the first thing that jumped out at her is how huge these professional baseball players are.
Yes.
Big men. So where does a kid straight out of high school, what in the world can his role be? How long is it going to take him to even begin to approach that level?
And it's called upside. All right, they have to, these teams are putting a lot of money in these kids, so they look at his frame. Okay, and I think Connor Griffin's what, 6'4" maybe, and about 195 pounds. Of course, high school kids are going to be muscular. They're going to be, you know, that sort of usually. So they're thinking, okay, how much bigger is he going to get? How much stronger is he going to get? How much faster is he going to get? You're drafting potential.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're more, so he's going to be a work in project. So they're looking at him maybe 3 or 4 years down the road. If you're a team that wants to win now, you're going to get the proven college guys, you know, out of Vanderbilt, Tennessee, South Carolina, some of these teams, you know, that are older that we've talked about. And some of the volunteers did get taken. I think there was one other Mississippi State young man that got drafted. I think he, and then of course the, and Demon will tell us about him in just a second, but the Sun Belt Player of the Year.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
The shortstop from Louisiana was drafted in the first round. So that's the first Sun Belt player to be taken was the shortstop.
All right, we've got about a minute and a half left. What about our guys? What is the expectation now, Dima, for Nico Mazza, Dalton McIntyre? Those are the two names we keep hearing.
Yeah, I think Mazza and McIntyre probably in the running for getting drafted. We're going to know more over the next few days, so I'd just say keep tuning into the show and we'll get you that information. It's hard to speculate exactly what round they're going to be. There's just so much, so many players. But
it is reasonable to assume that by bringing in the transfer from Butler that was just announced last week, that they're
almost
at least
expecting it.
They're expecting that McIntyre's probably going to go.
Yeah, and the Sun Belt Player of the Year, Kyle DeBarge, went to the Twins, so he's going to be up there with Matt Wallner. So.
There we go. Who's doing pretty well.
He's
pretty
turned
well.
It and around.
Tanner yeah, Hall. He's doing pretty well.
Good for him.
All right, still to come on the show, Dylan Fedora. Does that name ring a bell? Former Southern Miss football player, Oklahoma State football player, and the son of
Elfed.
Of course, Elfed, Larry Fedora. He is now a licensed NFL agent, not Larry. He's living on the Gulf Coast and enjoying life.
On North Carolina's dime.
Yeah. Dylan Fedora is coming up next on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're going to talk a lot about the NFL. An 18-game schedule now on the table. International games. Going to be an interesting conversation. He's a good perspective of that as a licensed NFL agent. All right. Want to remind you about Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. They're at 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. You can go to their Facebook page. Check out what the topping of the month is. And the beignets are always fresh and always delicious at Mobay Beignet Company. Dylan Fedora next on the Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. Got breaking news. Kelly Sander has just been named as the VP pick for Donald Trump, running on a platform of free buffets for everyone.
A chicken in every pot.
Yeah.
And for you 420 people, pot in every chicken.
And a Chinese buffet every Sunday for every American. Right, Kelly?
Man, that's a winning ticket if I've ever heard one.
Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we're glad they do. Great place to buy all your Southern Miss apparel. And a great place to go visit with Miss Kathleen, who is simply one of the best people you'll ever meet. They're on Hardy Street. You could also shop them online at campusbookmart.net. Dylan Fedora is a former Southern Miss Golden Eagle, also a Cowboy, Oklahoma State Cowboy, played for both universities, of course the son of former head football coach and frequent guest on this show, I'm happy to say, Larry Fedora. We've had Coach Fedora many times and always have fun and great conversations. And Dylan is now a licensed NFL agent. And Dylan, I guess your dad's been on a lot. This is your first time, and we're grateful. Thank you for coming on the program with us.
Oh, no problem at all. Love coming on here whenever y'all give me a call. And can't wait to vote for Kelly as VP with all those promises.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
There we go. He's got one vote. And we know Kelly will vote for himself. There's a little question about
right
that.
In himself. Yeah. Well, you talk about the dumbing down of America.
Yes, that would said, pretty much be it.
Don't vote for me.
Could you imagine the White House with pink shorts? Be insane.
No, Salmon shorts.
Let's get serious here while we have an NFL licensed agent. Dylan, as we're, of course, this is the week that Major League Baseball amateur draft is taking place, so we thought it'd be a good time to talk a little bit of what it's like in the NFL. And of course, next year at this time, you'll probably be a Major League Baseball agent as well. But you know, Joe Burrow caught some flack a couple of weeks ago in his social media post talking about an 18-game season, which a lot of the other players in the NFL were upset with him about because they think that 17 games is already too much. So I wanted to get your reaction as to, you know, the potential of an 18-game season and some of the other things that the players aren't too happy about, including international games and security at these international events. I don't even know where to begin, D-Fed, but let's start with the 18-game schedule. You think it'll happen?
I mean, honestly, yeah. I think money runs NFL, and they're going to do whatever they can to get that 18th game in there, you know, to make an extra buck. But at the same time, I think it kind of rolls over into the same question with the international play. I think that's kind of their play, is to become an international sport, which it's obviously one of the hardest sports to be an international sport with the amount of, you know, equipment that goes into it, the facilities and the operations. It's just a hard operation to pull off, for sure. And they're trying their best. I mean, I know they've had some games in London, and Jacksonville's kind of the team for London now that's kind of taken over. I know they played in Germany the past couple of years, and this new addition is Brazil, Rio. And yeah, you have a lot of players that are kind of confused with, you know, if they can't wear their team colors and they can't leave the hotel, then why are we going to Rio, you know? Kind of makes a lot of sense, but at the same time, you know, the NFL is just trying to get their buck. But I think guys, they're okay with it. I think they're just kind of wanting to see a little more pay for it, you know, if they're starting to throw their body in there for 18 weeks plus preseason and plus training camp and then off-season workouts. You know, these guys are just going to want more money out of it. And yeah. So it's just kind of pays back from where the NFL makes their money.
Now, I know this answer because we talked before, but can you fill in the blank about why teams, when they go to some of these international sites, are told not to wear their team gear and not to leave the hotels?
Well, in Rio, I guess there's a couple gangs that are same color as the Eagles, and I guess it's the Packers that are playing them or whoever. But so apparently they can't wear green just because of that. So guys are a little concerned. I think I saw a tweet from AJ Brown at one point that was kind of saying the same thing. If I can't wear the team colors and I can't leave the hotel, why are we going? Yeah.
Well, before yeah. Bob and Dima get in here, my one of the last questions I have for you is, you know, a lot of fans will say, look, a 17-game schedule, everybody's hurt. You know, so people are paying to see the second and third string players. What good does it do to add an 18th week if the people who pay these large ticket prices aren't going to get to see the stars?
Oh, I know. It's I mean, that's the hardest part. That's why I think the only option they could do is minimize all the preseason games to where practically almost none. And in exchange, that makes it harder for rookies because they don't get a chance to go showcase themselves, get those four games in there to actually make a team. So you're kind of pulling one with the other, and you hope that they can kind of figure it out. But it's going to be pretty hard because those rookies are going to want those four games. But at the same time, if they're running 18 week games, players' bodies just aren't going to be able to hang in there with another 4 weeks of preseason and training camp on top of it.
So Dylan, a couple of years ago, when they started playing these international games, I heard Burgess Owen, a former San Francisco 49er, Super Bowl champion, now a member of Congress, doing an interview about that, and he made the comment, really stuck with me. He said, fans need to understand that the NFL leadership really doesn't care anything about their fan base. All they want is more money, more money, more money. And so they're willing to take games out of home stadiums, go overseas, because their big objective is to become an international league, irregardless of how that affects the everyday American NFL fan. Think that was accurate?
I don't know how accurate it is. I mean, you could kind of play on that with two, because, you know, now you're having to start to pay to watch a playoff game on this streaming service or that, because it's only on that streaming service, which is, for me, frustrating, because I should be able to watch whatever game I want on TV, you know. But so I can see where that kind of is going to come into play. But the hardest part for me on this is the travel for these players. Until they can come up with a quicker way to get these guys around internationally, they can't have players spending 2-3 weeks in these other countries preparing for games. And you know, you're taking them away from their family. You're taking them away from, everything. And it's just putting them somewhere where they have no idea what they're doing, and they can't, half the time they're not allowed to leave the hotel and stuff like that. So a lot of the times the guys don't enjoy them, but some do, you know. But it's I would say the NFL, you know, definitely they're trying to make their money. I mean, kind of plays in hand with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. You know, they're kind of, if you look at some of their scheduling this year, they've strategically strategized where Taylor Swift's concerts are compared to where Kansas City's playing, so that she can possibly make the game. So, because they know with her there's more fans in the stands, and more fans in the stands, more money. So
Bob Getty's day just got even worse.
But Dylan, I mean, how much money is enough money? I mean, how much money does the National Football League need?
Apparently nothing's enough, you know. So they're already, I think I'm pretty positive I could say that they're already the number one entertainment sport in the world. Maybe not the world, but definitely United States compared to soccer. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more they need.
You know, we think of college football becoming so much like the NFL in so many areas, and I'm just glad it's not to the level it is of this. But, you know, when you think of an 18-game season, you know, does that mean they may even extend the playoffs a little bit, further down, I guess, if that makes sense, like push the playoff schedule back?
The only positive I've heard out of the 18-week season is that would push it back a week, and that would mean we'd all get the Monday after Super Bowl as President's Day. So okay. I've always pushed for the Monday after the Super Bowl to be a national holiday, but if we can get it this way, that's okay too.
But Joe Burrow also talked about adding a second bye week for the teams.
That's right. He did say that. Yeah, and that could work out too, you know. I mean, they're definitely going to have to work with the players' union, and the players' union is going to have to okay a lot of these things. But there's definitely going to have to be a lot of talks about how we're going to structure this if we're going into 26-week training, you know, with adding on training camp and all that stuff. You're talking about 26 weeks of your body just getting beat to hell.
Yeah.
I thought you made an interesting point about the preseason is for rookies, because really, from a fan standpoint, it's an NFL preseason game is – certainly not very entertaining, Dylan. That is a period for them to try to determine who's going to be on their roster, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a great evaluation period for those guys that maybe didn't get the opportunity to get drafted but were a free agent and got picked up. And, you know, it's an opportunity for them to put more game film on there, just not for that team that might not work out, but possibly the next team that could pick them up from those games.
Now, DFED, what made you want to be an agent?
Well, when I was in Hattiesburg in high school, Brett Favre, you know, came to the Oak Grove and threw every day in the summer, and got to know him pretty well. And then there was this man that kept coming up watching some days, and his name was Bus Cook, and started doing some work for Bus on his property, and really just kind of fell in love with what he did and how it was still involved within sports, but I was still able to have somewhat of a life because coaching is the next best thing to playing, and I mean it's a brutal life. I mean my dad did it for 35 years and I did it for 7, and it's you're working from 5 a.m. to 11 o'clock at night, and you get 3 weeks off in July, so a lot of those coaches are on a vacation right now, and when they come back in the next week they're done until next year.
All right, we're talking holidays included. We're talking to Dylan Fedora. When we come back, Dylan, if you're good with it, I'd like to talk to you about your time here at Southern Miss and at Oklahoma State. Of course, talk about your dad for a minute. That good?
Yeah, of course.
All right, Dylan Fedora on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back, everybody. Stay with us.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We thank them every day. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest on the road. And their new showroom on Highway 98 West is the finest in Mississippi. Be sure you check that out. Genesis of Hattiesburg. This segment of the program is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, where you can always get good food, good drink. Lots of Southern Miss memorabilia, and there's always a great game on the TVs. 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the rock. Talking to Dylan Fedora, the son of head football coach Larry Fedora, former football coach here, obviously, and now a licensed NFL agent, former player at Southern Miss and Oklahoma State. Take us back to your playing days, Dylan. What are some of the great memories you have as a as a Golden Eagle?
There's a lot of them. I mean, even from the ones when I was a kid, just being in high school with my dad coaching up there. To be honest, though, I mean, the friendships I made at Southern Miss with Lance Shuford and Max Mason, Matt Mosley, those guys, I mean, a lot of great people come through Southern Miss, and some of my favorite memories are just getting to spend time with teammates in that locker room, and just that team camaraderie. That's a lot of the things that I miss, of just having people to do things with and compete with, and always have someone to joke around with at the same time.
Yeah, your dad brought a lot of excitement to the place when he came in, and I guess it was it all culminated that wonderful day in Houston, Texas, when we were given no chance at all to win that game, and pretty much humiliated Houston on national TV. I'm sure your dad still smiles when he thinks about that day.
Oh yeah, I was. That was my freshman year, and I was at Oklahoma State at that time. And we prior to that game, or later that night of that game, we actually played for the Big 12 championship against Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that was probably one of my cool memories too. Is sitting in that locker room with all my teammates as a freshman, and a lot of them were cheering for Southern Miss and cheering for my dad and me watching that game with me. And so you're talking about 100 guys all surrounded by one TV cheering on, you know, the team before us. And it got them hyped up whenever the team came out in the They Don't Know shirts, because everyone doubted them, and they put on the They Don't Know shirts and walked out there and whooped the butt, you know. So
got my
team at Oklahoma State hyped to the point where then we were ready to go out there and kill Oklahoma, and that's exactly what we did.
Well, that's a cool story. Oklahoma State Cowboys were all around the TV pulling for Southern Miss. Let me ask you one more question before I turn it over to these guys. Because you have a good view of this. My son is a by way of the military, but is an Oklahoma graduate. Went to University of Oklahoma when he was working out there in the military, and so that sort of, you know, made me pay a lot more attention to Oklahoma than I normally would have. We hear a lot of SEC guys around here that say Oklahoma is really going to find out what big time football is about. I sort of think that Oklahoma coming to the SEC is really bad news for the Mississippi States, Kentucky's, Arkansas's, and Vanderbilt's of the SEC. What do you say about that, Dylan?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I mean, Oklahoma's not going to be a rollover game in the SEC. They're blue blood in this for football, and I would say that they're going to come in. Maybe not their first year dominate or anything, but I wouldn't count Oklahoma out. Every other few years they're probably going to be competing up there.
Yeah,
I would say in this first year, Texas has a really good chance with just Georgia kind of being the team in the SEC this year, and they're coming in with a loaded offense and defense, and schedule seems a little easy for SEC for their first year in the SEC compared to Oklahoma. So I think Texas will have a good chance to kind of make a name for themselves in the SEC. But like Nick Saban said at Media Day, I don't know if that's the day or yesterday, but Texas won't run it either. It's going to kind of be up for grabs in the SEC now that he's gone. So it'll be interesting to see how it all kind of goes.
Yeah. Dylan, with your last name being what it is, with the connections that your dad has, about your career choice, why not coaching? Obviously, your dad has done pretty well. Why the choice to go the agent route rather than the coaching route when you're so well connected?
You know, a lot of mine was COVID was my last year. I did COVID, and that kind of was my last straw for it all. It was just kind of the way we had to operate and do things and all that stuff just kind of got to me. But prior to that, it was more of a life decision just based off of how much, you know, my dad's always told me for coaching, you have to love it. And if you don't love it, then it's probably not for you. And I kind of found that throughout my 6 year that maybe this wasn't what I wanted to do the rest of my life. I wanted to maybe spend more time with family and friends and instead of working from 5 a.m. to 11 o'clock 7 days a week, you know, and making sacrifices for weddings and holidays and things like that. And not to say it's bad or anything like that, just not what I wanted to do anymore. And at the same time, the NIL kind of helped push me out the door a little more, too, with how all that was getting structured and things. That's really what my kind of call was, to then say, all right, well, I still want to be involved in football in a way and however I can help the players, because that's what I found my enjoyment in, was watching my players grow and develop, and not so much just the actual coaching aspect of it, but off the field. too.
And the transfer portal, too. Now, as an agent, how safe are you if you have an athlete in your barn, so to speak, and your athlete comes along and says, well, agent XYZ is going to do better for me and maybe not charge me as much. How safe are you having these guys in the barn? Can they do whatever they want, whenever they want?
Yeah, I work for them, so they can let me go at any point. That's the way the agent game works. So a lot of mine is, I build a lot of mine off trust and loyalty. I try and get with these guys at least once, maybe twice a week, and just to talk and just talk. I mean, I'm not always talking business. I just call and talk, see how the family is, how their life's going, how school's going, anything going on in football with the coaches, just trying to be another shoulder for them to lean on in any way possible. So that when times like that do come where another agent's telling them something in their ear, they have such a good relationship with me, hopefully, that they know that I can do those things as well.
You know, you're an NFL guy, and I know that, you know, you have two big divisions in the NFL. I just wanted to get curious about your thoughts on conference realignment and college football. You know, a lot of people think it's going to be like the NFL. You're going to have the South maybe versus the North. Do you think we'll eventually get there? Do you think things are kind of settling in right now? I always am like, it's just always going to be an ever-changing thing now, especially.
I don't know if we'll ever get to South versus North because, my gosh, that would just be a headache. But yeah. I think you'll get to where you have super leagues. I think the SEC and Big Ten, Big 12, because from what I'm hearing is possibility of FSU, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Miami going to the Big 12 next year. So you could see the ACC deplete and a lot of those kind of get picked up through the ACC or Big 12. And I think we'll end up with possibly 3-4 conferences and, kind of have to go about it that way.
So you don't envision like a group of five conference, just one and then bigger.
I think you'll have, yeah. I mean, I think it'll just kind of all roll into each other. I don't think you'll have a group five.
Maybe just have no conferences.
I think it'll just be, yeah. I mean, it'll be a very interesting way and, going to be hard to do, and I don't have any jealousy of the person that's got to put that together in the future, but it'll eventually come, because just like how 4-team playoff wasn't enough, I'd give it 10 years and 12-team playoff won't be enough. You know, that 13th team will always be complaining. It'll always be developing and changing, but at the same time, I mean, they still got to hold the integrity of college football and the passion behind it, because in my opinion that's what we're losing, and that's what makes college football so much better than the NFL, in my opinion, at least for games to watch, is the passion behind it. I mean, saw a video earlier with Baker Mayfield talking about whenever him and Kansas were kind of getting into it pregame. And he was even saying, you know, it's college, and, like, that's what you do. Like, you want to get – you don't like those guys. You want to win. And he said – and he's like, and then NFL, you know, you have TV announcers saying, oh, well, the NFL GMs aren't going to like that. They love that. They love the competitiveness. They don't want you out there showboating and all that, but they want to see you compete. That's their biggest ordeal, is guys that love football and want to compete. And if they can't find that in the guy, it hurts them.
Now, Dylan, I was an Iowa State graduate, and I know we hated Oklahoma State. So I'm sure even though you went to Oklahoma State, you hate them too.
A little bit, yeah. I do have a personal hatred for Iowa State. That was my only chance to go to a national championship, and they beat us.
Well, we actually won a game that had consequence.
My freshman year, we were 11-0, I think. Yeah, and all we had to do was beat Iowa State. And they beat us in double overtime, and that ruined our chances to go play Alabama in the national championship in 2012.
How closely do you keep your finger on Southern Miss now?
A good bit, you know. I mean, I love Hattiesburg and Southern Miss. I still have a ton of friends there, and was just back there this past year, earlier this summer, seeing Bus, and hung out with some friends like James McMahon and Dylan Sobius, old Oak Grove guys, and great to see all them and catch up. So, I mean, keeping up with Southern Miss is pretty easy just because I still talk to my friends there just about every week, and they keep me going with how it's going in Hattiesburg and how Southern Miss is looking and how they're developing things, and it's fun to watch them.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Dylan. Great conversation. And what a great story about the Oklahoma State Cowboys all huddled around a TV watching Southern Miss beat Houston. I appreciate you sharing that with us, and you are welcome on our show anytime.
Well, anytime y'all have me, I'd be happy to join.
All right. Thanks a lot. Dylan Fedora, everybody.
Have a great day. Thank you.
All right. All right, that was good, huh, Kelly?
Good kid, yeah. And like I said, next year he hopes to get into the Major League Baseball scouting arena, which y'all have to be certified and all that sort of stuff.
All right, don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear that interview again later this afternoon if you like. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank Dylan Fedora. Enjoyed that conversation with the son of Larry Fedora, and a great conversation. We appreciate him joining the show. This segment is sponsored by DBAT down on Hardy Street, where you can go for baseball, softball training, and Luke Reynolds can do it for you. It's a great place for kids to fine-tune their game. Every aspect of softball and baseball covered with expert coaching and help at DBAT on Hardy Street.
You know, one of the things that stuck out in that interview with Dylan Fedora, Bob, is it would be so easy for kids like that in one vein to follow an iconic parent like Larry Fedora has been in college football. But then there's that other side of kids that goes, you know what? I want to be my own person.
That's right.
You know, I kind of want to do my own thing because whether you realize it or not, there are expectations, right? And sometimes the parents are better than the children at whatever the chosen field is. And feeling like they have to meet, you know, that bar sometimes isn't fair either. So I respect Dylan Fedora when he could have easily made a pretty good living.
In all honesty, I really never knew Larry Fedora when he was coaching here. I've only got to know him, so to speak, since we started doing the Eagle Hour. What a nice, cool guy, though, man. He's just he's a joy to talk to and to spend time with.
And he was really one of the first new age coaches in the sense that he understood that college football is entertainment.
Right.
Right? And in order to get people to spend $25 or whatever it is to get in the gate, plus concessions and so on, you got to give them a show. You need to win, but you also have to give them a show. And he understood that.
Am I going to get a cabinet position if you, in fact, now that you're the vice presidential nominee, if you and Mr. Trump win?
Bob, if I win on any political ticket, you need to invest in a life preserver because our country is sinking quickly. Going to hell in the proverbial handbasket if I'm ever elected.
No free Chinese buffet every week.
So I just don't know that that's a strong enough platform to...
Have you ever told our young man here what happened to you the last time you were at a Chinese buffet, what they said to you?
They don't like me at the Chinese
buffet. Listen to this. Listen to what happened to Kelly.
Yeah, the guy comes out and he says, you go home now. You've been here 2 hours.
Good night.
It not say eat free all day.
It just say eat all you can, eat all day. You had an announcement to make?
You can set up your laptop and just for lunch and then dinner. You know, he's got both. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need a laptop to eat lunch and dinner.
I don't have a lap. You got to have a lap. So the Major League Draft continues, Dima.
Yes.
Get us out of this.
I don't have a lap.
It's under there somewhere, you know. You just got to lift up a little
bit. All right.
That's not all. That's well.
All right. So the Louisiana player, another Sun Belt player, went to the fourth round. LP Langevin, as I think I say his name, Kelly.
Langevin.
Yeah, he was one of the pitchers who pitched against Southern Miss this year. He went to the Kansas City Royals in the fourth round. And then another Mississippi player, Dakota Jordan, for the Bulldogs, Mississippi State, going to the Giants, both in the fourth round. So as we cross our fingers everything like that. See what Southern Miss player could or couldn't get picked. But also I have a quick shout out to everybody in my generation. I'm not sure if y'all know this, but today is a big day for people who love sport video games, as the EA college football game, for after 11 years, is finally coming back today at 3 p.m. It'll release. So shout out to everybody like me who've been waiting for that game for years and years and years and years now. Today is finally the day that you'll get to play on your video game console college football.
Actually, I knew that because my son is coming back for about a week in a few days. And he said, Dad, I'm going to wear out the TV at playing that game.
Yeah.
So I knew that something was in the offing there.
But the Bengals ever won a Super Bowl in that game?
No. You can win it on Madden.
And Madden, well, could the Bengals win a Super Bowl in Madden?
I wouldn't know why. Like I said, I can't get Alexa to do anything I want her to do. You know,
so Madden football's out of the question.
No. Alexa goes, you don't own me. You know, leave me alone.
You never
That's
will.
Only the 10th time we've heard that joke this month.
But still. So this is three Mississippi State Bulldogs now.
Three.
Okay. That have gone. No Ole Miss Rebels yet.
Not yet.
And no Southern Miss Eagles. But two Louisiana Cajuns.
Yeah,
I
knew DeBarge was most likely going. I just didn't think they'd have multiple.
How far down do you go, Kelly, before, say, a Dalton McIntyre says, I'm staying?
I got asked that question twice this morning, and you know, it's different for different players. But you'd want to think maybe that, you know, there's 20 rounds. So if you're at round 11 through 20, you know, maybe it all comes down to money. But the other thing too, Bob, and I'm not going to mention the Southern Miss player because it was rough for him, but he was drafted. This has been 10 or 15 years ago. He was drafted as a junior.
I know who you're talking about.
And had a lot of money thrown at him. He decided to come back his senior year, and he got hurt. He really, really got hurt to where he couldn't play anymore. So if he could do it all over again,
he'd take the money.
Of course, because every guy wants to play in the major leagues. So here you have an opportunity before you. Is it really about the money? You know, I can't answer that, but I'm saying.
And you never know. Look at our boy Landon Harper. Look how well he's doing.
Yeah, so here's an opportunity. Would you get that opportunity next year if he stayed?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
That's the big question.
Well, welcome back, Dima.
Thank you. It was a good show.
You going to hang around for a week or two before you travel internationally?
I think I'll be in
again?
Bali next week. So.
Bali next week.
Bali High. That's from South Pacific. Thanks,
Kelly.
I'll be here all week.
Two shows a night.
At least I think I will.
Is that right? Two shows
Tip
a night?
Tip your waiters and waitresses, yeah.
All right. I guess we'll all be back tomorrow.
At least you two will, I know.
Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.